Hello, and welcome to another edition of Authors in Their Own Right. This series of podcasts features interviews with Canadian authors discussing their works and experiences, and is brought to you by the Canadian Authors Association National Capital Region. Today, in a special edition, our regular host, Joanne L. Tremblay, will move to the other side of the interview table as a guest. Here is our guest host, Arlene Summerton Smith.
Every day, we all stand on the threshold of the rest of our lives. We can look through that doorway toward our hopes and dreams and goals. But what is the best way to try to reach those goals? Do you need a little support before taking that first step? Do you need an interior designer for your life? With me today is Joanne Tremblay. Joanne is an artist, lecturer, businesswoman, personal and professional life coach, and the author of The Self-Coaching Toolbox, 6 Tools for Personal and Professional Growth and Development. This book offers 6 tools for you to put in a metaphorical toolbox that you carry with you each step of the way. Welcome, Joanne.
Hello.
First, the title of your book is The Self-Coaching Toolbox. Why is self-coaching important? Why isn't the title, Let Me Be Your Life Coach?
Well, first of all, self-coaching is managing all of your individual potentials and the potentials that arise from outside of yourself to achieve that which is meaningful for you. Well, we live with ourselves for a lifetime, and most people want to be happy, healthy, and productive. So conscious self-coaching is a path to these goals, and we're the ones who have to take that on. We can't expect somebody else to do that for us. They may assist us at some point in our lives, but it's our job.
It's our responsibility.
Absolutely.
So this book is not just read, it's experienced. First you present information, and then you recommend exercises to try. Why did you choose this format, and why is the practice important?
Well, many of us, not all of us, but many of us learn by doing. Okay, we learn from our experiences. We learn through experiential mileage. So information is important, but it's intellectual. So doing through practice helps us integrate the information and convert it into real-life experiences. And in fact, I designed the exercises so that the reader can apply what's happening in their life right now while they're reading it, their circumstances, their situations, their individuality, so that it becomes a full guided practice so then they can take all of that and go off for the rest of their lives and self-coach themselves.
And they can renew those exercises if their life changes in any way.
Exactly.
So briefly summarize what your 6 tools are.
Okay, well, the self-coaching tools in the book help you clarify who you are, the person you choose to be, to define goals, and map the plans for actualizing all that you can be and do. So tool number 1 is awareness. That's a very important tool. And it's the tool that helps us explore the center of our lives as the co-creator of our life experiences and the ripple effects we bring into existence. Conscious awareness is a useful tool for tuning into our thoughts, our feelings, and everything beyond our individual self. When we're tuned in, we're in a better position to be aware of the influences and the effects they are having on us and our life. Now, tool number 2, another one we've heard about so often in our lives, know yourself. And this tool helps us recognize the amazing beings we all are. There's a wonder and a power in our individual selves and our lives. And housed within each of us is a blend of talents, skills, abilities, roles, and our individuality. We are all unique in who we are, and the greatest impact on our lives is experienced when we become aware of our individuality, make conscious choices, and put into action what we understand. Tool number 3, beliefs. Well, this is the tool that we use to identify and work with any subconscious resistance we may have and the empowering beliefs we're holding within. Our beliefs determine our thoughts, behaviors, and actions. They, in turn, determine our outcomes. Beliefs are the convictions we have that certain things are true. Like the skeleton that is the supporting framework for the body, a structure, our belief systems, is incorporated in the framework that supports the subconscious structure inside of ourselves in our internal universe. And these positive and negative convictions create supporting thoughts, and those are what we operate from. Tool number four, setting goals and creating plans. Well, this is the tool we use to brainstorm ideas, identify personal and professional goals, and create the ways and means by which we're going to achieve them. So only you can know and design what your ideal self and life should be. Life's a process of discovery and co-creation. So it's kind of up to you to make the choices and do what is required to convert your ideas into reality. Tool number five, this is so important for all of us these days, energy management. Positive stress, negative stress, stress no less. It's all in how we manage those energies. And in the business of life and the life of business, your responses to stress. Now, remember I'm saying responses to stress can seriously affect your spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical health. It's not necessarily the stress itself. It's the response. So your ability to balance all four of these is directly related to your ability to manage your energy. So the key word is, how do we balance the four anatomies? Human spirit, intellectual self, emotional self, and physical self. Okay. And tool number six, self-mastery. That's an interesting one. And that's really for folks who are very, very interested in just continuing their evolution. And it's the tool that motivates us to rise above the and to add to the quality of our individual selves and life in order to establish a consistent, functional, adaptable, sustainable, personal and professional mode of operating from a conscious and loving core as we consistently evolve as individuals.
Excellent. The book refers often to the idea of co-creating. You talk a lot about interconnectedness between other people and between our inner realities and our outer realities. You say the power in each of us comes from all of us, and the power of all of us comes from each of us individually. Maybe you can just tell me more about that idea.
Oh, yes. Well, that's really exciting because although each of us individually are responsible for creating ourselves and our lives as we deem appropriate, we are products. We are products of our past, of our upbringing. We affect and are affected by current events, family, friends, co-workers, our community, our nation, our planet, maybe even our universe. we're affected and we affect. So there's a consistent flow from the center of each one of us as an individual and from the world and life beyond us. So we're connected, and these connections have impacts. They impact us. We react. We act on each of them every waking moment of the day. It's a huge bombardment. And this is the way we are co-creating with the life and navigating through our experiences in the world. I'm probably not going to say it properly, but there's something I heard a few years ago that, you know, a butterfly, I don't know if you've heard that, when a butterfly flaps its wings in Africa, and then it creates that ripple effect. So we have a hurricane in this side of the world. And so the connection is really wonderful. And I love the metaphor of the butterfly, because a butterfly is about transformation. It's about change, you know. So absolutely, we co-create. We're always dealing every moment of every day from what is happening from the inside going out and the outside coming in. So we're all connected.
In the book you say, as you travel the road of life, your self-concept is the pedal that controls your speed. In other words, we can be our own worst enemies or our own turbo booster. Can you expand on that idea a little more?
Oh, yes, from personal experience. Frankly, no matter what other people think of us, and they do, they have their perceptions, they have their judgments, they have their thoughts, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. Yet, we are still individually the ones who are responsible and accountable for our self-concept. And it truly is a speed control for ourselves and our lives. For example, if I don't think I'm good enough, if I don't think I'm smart enough, no matter what goal I'm reaching for, I'm going to have to deal with the I'm not smart enough before I can even take the steps to get there. I can muddle my way through it, and I think we all have done that. We're not quite good enough at something or smart enough, but we know that we may have had to add more steps, or we've gotten off the path a little bit. So it is very much a speed control, I find. And it's all about our self-concept. And, you know, confidence is one thing, and it's not thinking that you're greater than somebody else, just having a true awareness and knowing yourself, knowing what tools you have, your talents, your skills, your abilities, and trusting them and believing in them, and knowing that you're going to even hone those skills with those tools as you go towards whatever goals that are important to you, or you're going to add some, but everybody is good enough and everybody's smart enough. But boy, we battle with that one.
You are right about that. And finally, you write, when you actualize your potentials, our world actualizes its potentials too. Does that mean that we can change the world?
Well, we may not be able to change the world, the whole world, the way we'd like it to be, because I think we're almost 6 billion people on the planet now, so there'd be 6 billion versions of how the world should be. But definitely, we can change in our own world, and we can change our own world. And when we do this, we have affected the larger world around us. Good, bad, or indifferent, we have affected and therefore made a change in the world. I think a wonderful example of one of my clients had said, oh, gee, you know, I cleaned up my backyard. Boy, did it ever need to be cleaned up. It's so interesting, she said, because I've got three neighbors, and one of my neighbors looked over the fence and saw how clean my yard was, so they cleaned up theirs. And then the connections, remember we talked about connections earlier, and the next thing they know, the whole community decided, let's clean the community. And so that's really very exciting. They changed their world. Did they change the world as a whole? No, but they sure affected it. And they affected the fact by means that their children were involved in the cleaning up of the community. So now they've affected another generation. It may seem so little, but it's not. It's huge.
Excellent. Okay, Joanne, if anyone is interested in getting a copy of your book, how would they do that?
Well, the Self-Coaching Toolbox is available at Chapters, Amazon.ca, from my publisher, General Store Publishing House, which is www.gsph.com. Or folks can go to my website, which is www.potentialsmanagement.com. Or they can Google my name, Joanne L. Tremblay. Joanne being J-O hyphen capital A-N-N-L Tremblay, T-R-E-M-B-L-A-Y.
Thank you very much, Joanne. And again, the book is called The Self-Coaching Toolbox, 6 Tools for Personal and Professional Growth and Development.
We hope you enjoyed this edition of Authors in Their Own Right, brought to you by the Canadian Authors Association, National Capital Region. Our guest host today has been Arlene Summerton-Smith. Arlene is a videographer, scriptwriter, television producer, freelance writer, and editor. She is also the creator and host of the literary internet website www.scienceandstory.com. Conceived and created by Arlene, the website shares thoughts, experiences, and stories, reaching out for people with an open mind, interested in exploring something more. This is your announcer, Mark Henderson, inviting you to join us for further editions of Authors in Their Own Right. And remember, a good book is a friend that eventually turns its back on you, but still remains a friend.